Praise the Lord. Well, we are in part two of our May series, which is entitled The Joy of Our Identity in Christ. And I'm going to do something I never did before. I'm going to kind of meld the our message today dealing with our identity in Christ and wearing the name. You know, you are an heir of God. The Bible says that if we are children, then we are heirs, joint heirs with Christ, and we are heirs of God. And if you're of the seed of Abraham, it says that Abraham will inherit the world. Romans chapter 4, it says when God told Abraham that he would inherit the world, he's an heir of the world. You know, when we get raptured and go to, we're only going to be gone for 7 years. So, excuse me, take good care of your place. And unless God relocates you. Ah, look what I found. Voila. See if that works. But I'm going to meld the two with a message here, and I'm going to go in and out. But let's get right into our weekly confession here, and let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Praise God. Well, for starters, I want to just inject a few thoughts in this to get our faith working. Sometimes you just need a jump start, a jolt, something. Let me say, make some statements here. Throat, you listen. Everything that we receive from God, everything that is in the New Testament, everything that we receive from God has already been given by his grace. We need to understand that. That you don't have to fight for and pry his hand open through prayer to get something. It's already been given. It's already a reality in the Spirit. But everything that he has already given has to, it is accessed, it is appropriated, and it is received by faith. There's just no way around that. We cannot get around that. It is by faith. Even your salvation. For by grace, you are saved through what? Faith. Ephesians 2:8. 2:6 and 2:8, actually. So everything that we get from God is something that God has already given by, and that's what faith is. Somebody say, faith is God's creative force, and that force lives in us. Somebody said, well, you mean we could create planets too? No, I doubt you could create a BB. But your words come into agreement with things that God has already put in existence, and he has locked them in and invested them into the new covenant, which is yours too. That covenant is all yours. That's why it's important to know the provisions, the benefits, the blessings, and the promises of God that are in the new covenant. Remember, the new covenant, actually the old covenant, is the new covenant concealed, and the new covenant is the old covenant revealed. It's the same God. It's the same promises. Say, well, I thought that was for Israel. Sometime read Galatians 3:29. that if you are Abraham's seed, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs of God. You are a Jew. Amen. You've been grafted in. You've been made. That's a whole new message. I don't want to go. And according to Jesus, one of the things he locked into that new covenant is that whatever we say, believing, will come to pass. It cannot not come to pass. Whatever, whosoever says, shall have whatsoever he says, believing. If we say, and doubt not, but believe in our heart, what we say shall come to pass. The question is, what are you saying today? Your present situation right now today is a sum total of your talking yesterday. And if there's problems that seem, well, that wasn't my fault. How could I have that? Your mouth had something to do with it. Your mouth agreed with something. You remember Jackie Gleason and the Honeymooners? He used to say, I got a big mouth. Well, he's wearing that big mouth. It shows up. Words show up. It's just all there is to it. Laura and I were at the health food store, and this is a couple of weeks ago. The lady at the register, she said, I didn't know you were pastors. Somebody told her, I guess. Did you tell her? I didn't. So, and she said, wow, what denomination? No denomination. She said, what, really? Wow, that's good. And she said, well, I said, are you familiar with Andrew Womack? She goes, oh, is he that name it and claim it guy? I mean, this is where people are at. It's like, whoa. And I said, well, I think it's about loving God and loving people and walking in the grace of God. Well, this week we went back there, and she was in our aisle. She was helping us say things, and she got the aisle confused. The stuff we were looking for, because they're supplements, you know. By the way, if you're not supplementing, this earth is worn out, folks. I mean, you got to supplement, because each one of those vitamins, that's food. That is food that you can't get in the grocery store. So she was like, oh, I'm always so confused. She said this. She said, I'm always so confused. I can never remember this. I followed her into the other aisle. I said, you know what? You shouldn't be talking like that. She said, why? Will I speak it into existence? I said, no. But you're coming into agreement with something you don't want. Right. Then I showed her some scripture. I showed her Proverbs 6:2 that says, we are snared by the words of our own mouth. We are taken by the words of our own mouth. And, you know, if you come into agreement with somebody who has an agenda against you. If you guys could look into the spirit realm and see the forces that are arrayed against us, you would not speak the words of the enemy any longer against your life. You wouldn't speak those things over your kids. You wouldn't speak those things over your boss. You wouldn't speak those things over this company that I work for. You would say, no, you speak the desired result. Oldest example in the world, when God saw darkness, what did he say? Man, it's dark out there. Wow. So dark. Who could, you know. No, he said, light be. Light was. Speak the desired result, not agreeing with what already exists, because it's all bad to begin with. By the time you got there, it was worse than it was. That should make sense to some of us. Bible, look, the Bible is a code book. It is the code of life. It's the code of blessing. It's the code of promise. It's a book of promises. This is a code of covenants. It's a code of operate. It's the code of the kingdom of God. It's how it works. And if you don't get baptized in the Spirit that wrote that code, you'll never get the code. You'll be stuck in doctrine. And your joy will go right out the window. Your peace, well, you know, there's none of that. And your love walk. I love people. What do you think of me? You know, it's like, no. Look, we've been made free from all of that. We've been cut loose from sin, sickness, demons, and fear. Cut loose from it. Does that mean we never get sick? No, you're going to have to fight the battle, but you're going to have to fight it in the arena of faith. Those things come, and it's maybe not your sin. It could be, but maybe not. We are in a fallen world, and the backlash of that world comes on all of us. And we've got to hold up our shield, take out our sword, and start chopping away. And so that word of faith, that word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that's what we've got to be speaking. We speak the word of God. We have, can we turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Moms, this is how the spirit of faith operates. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. God has authorized us to speak His word. Do you know, when God said to the devil, He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Did you know what that is? An authorization, that is a license and an authorized yes from God, from Jesus Himself, that you can live by the word, that you can speak His word and expect it to come to pass. You can speak His blessings and expect His blessings upon you. You can speak the provisions for health and healing to come on you. That is His license. Man shall live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. He's already given you license to do it. And if you speak His word, boom, the Spirit of God can fill it and empower that thing, and it will go forth and it will accomplish what it was sent to do, and it will prosper in the thing it was designed for. Praise God. You guys waking up? I told you need a little jump start here. There's a little caffeine for you. Do you remember the first time you ever heard truth? When you got saved? I remember the first time I ever heard truth, and it came right out of the mouth of my little brother Ricky. I remember it. I heard it. I believed it. I received it. I spoke it. It changed my life. I didn't know how. Didn't know anything about it. I'd been an atheist for the last 8 years before that. And before that, I didn't even know what God was. You know, I thought He was a power. I didn't know He was a person who loved me. I had no idea about that. But it came right out of His mouth. And man, it was the Word. And the Word grew up and became. And the seed was there. And it bore fruit after its own kind. And now you're stuck with me. The Word of God changed my life. I'll share with you a little story here. Since it's Mother's Day, I remember Lori and I moved out here from Connecticut, and my dad died back in 95. In 1997, my mom and her best friend came out to visit us. My mom wanted to see us, and so we'd been best friends with this family for 30 years or something. And so Jerry Borgerson, she came out with Mom, and they stayed in a hotel. We were living in a town home, didn't have room to put them up at the time. So my mom calls one day, and she said, I'd like to spend Sunday with you and Lori. And I said, well, Mom, we go to church. And she said, okay. I said, well, look, why don't you come with us? Join us at church, and then we can go out from there and do whatever you want. And she said, okay. She didn't feel slighted or anything. And it says honor your mother and your father. But I don't put them or any family member above God. I remember that I could, when my brother got, when I got saved, I couldn't wait for Sunday to come around. I couldn't wait to get to church. I just wanted to know more about God. I just wanted to know Him more. I wanted to hear about Him. I learned about Him. I just want to know Him. And I just couldn't wait to get there. But I'll never put a family member above God, and neither did Jesus. That's in the Gospels. You can read that. Who are my mother, my father, my sister, and brother, but they who do the will or the word of God? And forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Now, there are certain situations, Scott and Kim, that you have to leave. We understand that. I'm not talking to you about this. But we've got to get our priorities right. Because Mama Bears, you're going to have to get your priorities right real soon. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. We'll go there. This is a glimpse of a mama bear. It's one woman in Scripture. Verse 22, yeah. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast, the same coast. This is Tyre and Sidon. The word coasts in the Gospels are basically this area. It's this region. It says, and behold, a woman of Canaan, this is not a Jewish woman, this is a Syrophoenician woman, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. Just ignored her. You know, Jesus, if you read the Gospels the way I do, or the way they're written, you can't just label Jesus as this really nice guy. Hold that thought for a minute. But he answered her not a word, and the disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, she's crying after us. In other words, she's raising a stink. We don't need her. She doesn't belong to us. She's not our problem. And she's embarrassing, by the way. Let's just get rid of her. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped, saying, can you picture this coming right from here? Lord, help me. The desperate cry of a mother. I don't want to wake you up. But, Lord! This woman has been pushing through people trying to get at him. She heard about Jesus. She wanted to. She has the answer right there. And they're saying, no, no, no. And he said, no, no, no. And she's pushing through. And she's going, ah! Moms. You want to know who wants to possess your children? It's the devil right now. He's after them. She came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. I mean, you talk about a door slamming in your face. What's he doing? What's he doing here? Do you know when a little chick is trying to break out of its egg, it has to do that by itself. You can't help it. If you do, he's not going to get the muscles he needs for flying later on. He will. You're killing the bird. In other words, if you help him get out of that little egg, you're killing him. He's helping her get out of her egg. He's trying to get faith into her. Here's what's going on. This is where you see the real Jesus and his love for people too. She came in, Lord, help, and he said, not right to take the children's bread. Jesus called deliverance, healing, and so forth. He calls that the children's bread. Verse 27, and she said, truth, Lord. He said, you're right. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. even as you will. You know, Jesus said, if I abide in you, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done to you. This is a demonstration of that. But there's a preface to this. You've got to knock through some doors. A lot of that is your own mind talking to you, discouragement. Discouraging, the devil reminding you of your past mistakes, your past prayers that never got answered, and he'll say, you know, you did that before. Why are you spending your time doing this? Why are you believing in that God? You know, the devil will try to get you to turn against God. He's a rat. All this stuff has already been given to us. You got to understand that first. It's our faith takes what grace has been given, what grace has given. Faith takes what God has already given by grace. It's yours. It belongs to you. But you're going to have to fight the fight of faith. Have mercy on me, Lord. My daughter is grievously affected with the devil. She didn't talk like that. She was desperate. And he answered her not. So number one is he ignored her. A lot of times when you go to prayer, you're going to feel like you're being ignored. If you guys got to go. A lot of times heaven seems like brass and you're not getting through. Have you been there? It's like God is ignoring you. He's not. He's seeing right where you are and he's trying to get faith. He's not trying to. He wants you to turn and do this thing in faith. That's where the covenant comes alive, in faith. It has to be by faith. You can't get around that. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away. For she... Then you hear the stories of everybody else. That didn't work for me. This didn't work for me. You know, Sandpaper Sally comes along and says, da, 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 da. And Brother Bucket Mouth comes over and says this and that and the other thing. And doubt, discouragement, unbelief. And before you know it, you say, yeah, well, why should I pray? I mean, he didn't answer his. Da, da. So the disciples are saying, get her out of here. She's not our problem. Da, 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 da. Then Jesus himself says, I'm not sent to you. I'm not. All I got to do is go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you have no part in this. Basically, is what he's saying. This doesn't belong to you. This is not a benefit for you. And then she came and she worshipped him. I mean, this woman was not letting go. Lord, help me. Help me. And he answered and said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. I mean, come on. What? He ignored her. The disciples are shouting against her. He said she doesn't belong to this. Then she said again, and then he answered and said, this is the children's bread. You're a dog. You're not a child. You're a dog. Then she pipes in and says, yeah, but the dogs get the crumbs off the master's table. She got out of that egg. And he said, great is your faith. Be it done to you, even as you will. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. You want to get your kids, your moms. Nobody understands your kid like you do. Nobody loves your child like you do. And there's times that all you see is discouragement, fear. No, you have a God who is on your side waiting for you to open your mouth and fight that so he can get in there and be your partner with you in that thing. Don't let that discouragement, don't let that intimidation, don't let the devil throw clouds in your face and say, no, this belongs to you. It didn't even belong to her, and she got it. She was not a Jew. She had no covenant with God. She had no benefits and no covenants of Israel. She was a stranger, an alien to those things. But she heard about Jesus. That's why she was coming there. She heard the stories. A mother who comes to Jesus for her daughter's deliverance from demonic possession. Pushing through the discouragement, pushing through the seemingly like God's ignoring it, pushing through it. You know why? That's the kind of faith that would sustain her in ministering to her daughter and getting her back to where she, once she's delivered, to get her back to where she needs to be. That's the strength that she would need. So look, these things, it may not be that you are seeing things happen right away. But you know what? When you plant a seed in the ground, before you see the fruit, before you see the apples on the tree or the pears on the tree, or before, there's a root system that has to be built. And if your faith is so easily removed as to stop at four little discouragements in your life compared to the great need that you're seeking, and you know God has that in His hand to give, He's already given it. Healing was hers, her daughter's. She went out and got it for her. I want to talk to you for a moment. This is one woman. There's a lot of mama bears. Listen to this. I got a list of them. Hannah, Samuel's mom, she was a mama bear. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, she had to be. She was a prophesying mom. Sarah, she was a mama bear over Isaac. How about Rebecca? Rebecca knew that Jacob was anointed and Esau wasn't. She made sure that Jacob got it. She rigged that whole thing. She was a mama bear. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a mama bear. Eunice, Timothy's mother. I could go on. I've got a whole list of this. But let me read you something about Mary that I wrote several years ago. I've used this, I think, once or twice, but talk about Mary. And as I'm reading this, think about Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, because that was a prophecy for her. It's interesting the places we see Mary pop up in the Gospels. The significant times she appears, strategically placed, to give us insight into the heart of a mother who learned that God is true, that He is a good Father, and He had called her to a rich reward that this world would never comprehend in her lifetime. She was able to trust her son's care to this Father. For example, at the temple, she sent out word to search for her son. Many moms might have grounded their child if he told them that he was being about his father's business. But Mary's response, which was recorded for us, that she kept all these things in her heart. She wasn't negligent in discipline, but storing these things in her heart, deferred to the Father for His guidance concerning His Son. And with that, He went home with them, subject to them, and grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We see that same kind of trust rise again at the wedding of Cana, again deferring to Jesus. Instead of taking matters upon herself, apparently by then she knew that the hour had come for those things that she had kept in her heart to be revealed. She said to the servants in a knowing way that only mothers can convey, that look, "Whatever He says, do it." And Jesus turned the water to wine, manifesting His glory. There are times when, moms, you're just going to have to let your kids let their glory come out. We can only imagine the looks that passed between mother and son that night, the quiet confidence, knowing who brought forth the son of promise through her, even as Sarah brought forth the son of promise 2,000 years earlier. Again, we see Mary at the crucifixion, bearing a pain no mother should bear. Like Eve, who was the first mother to have to bury a beloved son, Abel, Mary remained with Jesus through it all. Disciples may scatter, followers may hide, but a mother stays when the rest of the world walks away. Mary's life is a rich tapestry of real motherhood, a lot of excitement followed by years of work and moments of great joy and unimaginable pain, but through it all, mothers are there. They will always be there. Their words, their watchful eye, their comforting moments and of understanding, and just being there will always be with us. Lastly, we see Mary among the 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, a mother who learned through the years, time and time again, how God's word is true. In the upper room, reflecting on her life from the time Gabriel first appeared to her, announcing Jesus' birth till his death and resurrection, she knew that her son's words about the promise of the Father would still come to pass. She waited as a faithful mother would for yet another promise to be fulfilled. The promise Jesus spoke of, saying, "Wait in Jerusalem for the promise of my Father." She was not only there to the end, but she was there through the end. In full confidence that all his words would be fulfilled. Thus completing her own life's meaning and purpose. As she sacrificed her future as a young girl to bring about God's purpose, as a living example for her son, who in turn sacrificed his life for the purpose of God and to make a way for all those who believed in him to receive the power that he himself walked in. The question always looms: what would things look like if it were not for Mary? What if she said no to Gabriel? What if she walked away? Think of this. Mothers who are present with us today, where would your kids be right now if it weren't for you? The prayers that you've prayed for them, the things that you've taught them, the times to be with them. You can see why God's choice was Mary, to entrust his son to her. And you can see why God's choice for your children was for you. Amen. Like Mary and many others we read about in the Bible, as its message continues to open us, everyone, especially mothers, need a breakthrough in their lives. And since it's Mother's Day, I thought I'd use the whole message this morning to pay tribute to mothers. And I want to strike a note here of boldness in the last few minutes here. We need to be identified with Jesus. We need to, when people look at us, they need to say, that's Jesus. Remember who Arthur Blessett is? He's the guy that he was down and out. He was like a vagrant. He's sitting there across from this big church, and there was a big wooden cross on the church, and he heard the voice of the Lord says, "Pick it up and walk." So he went, took the cross off the church, put it over his shoulder, started walking down the road. And the Lord's talking to him. "I've anointed you to preach the gospel." And so, and this lady jams the brakes on her car going down the road and says, "Are you Jesus?" And he says, "No, I'm just one of his preachers." You got to know who you are, why you're doing what you're doing, knowing what you are. But we need to be identified with Jesus. Do not be ashamed of the name of Jesus or the gospel. So turn with me to Acts chapter 4. And this is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible for so many reasons. In verse 1, now what happened is in chapter 3, the previous chapter, Peter and John were approaching the Gate Beautiful. They healed the the man who was lame from birth. He had never, this man never walked at all in his life. And he was above 40 years old, it says. And what happened was, they went to the temple. They continued in the temple. They were going at the hour of prayer. And they went in the temple and they started telling the people, when they saw the guy, they said, wait a second, is he the... And so it started like popcorn going around the temple that this guy's walking now. And he was saying, yeah, it's these guys. So they're listening to Peter and John. And verse 1 says, as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple... See, this is like the weaponization of the temple guard. And the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that he taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. This is a gag order. And they laid hands on them and put them in prison, in the jail, or hold unto the next day, for now it was eventide. Howbeit, listen to this, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Day of Pentecost, 2,000 got saved. 2 days after that, 3,000 got saved. Now, we got 10,000 people here, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, and the temple guard are getting nervous because all these people are starting to go to them, and they're not coming to us anymore. Ooh. So they throw them in jail. Now, it came to pass the next morning, on the morrow, that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, this was the family of the high priest. Everybody was there. The entire Sanhedrin were there. And listen to this. And they were all gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had, this is Peter and John, when they had set them in the midst, this is a total abuse of authority. But look, they're all there in their all their pomp. And here's Peter and John, and it says, when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this thing? This was a trap. Because if he said Jesus, they'd say, okay, we're going to go to Pilate, and we're going to get these guys crucified just like Jesus. This is a trap. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, who God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. The evidence is standing right in front of them, looking at him. He's coming out with this word, and they are paralyzed. Their case has just been burned up. Burned up. There's a lot of cases going to be burned up, including one in New York and Atlanta and all those places. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to smear him and embarrass him and degrade him, and they're trying to get that momentum that he's built up stopped. And they're using the court of public opinion to do it. That's all this thing is. It's a total charade. And you know what? None of them are any better than Trump. This is the pot calling the kettle black. They are... This is the same kind of kangaroo court that Jesus faced. That these guys are, that they tried to pull over on these guys, but now the Holy Ghost is there and Jesus is there. He's with you too. Wow. Peter filled. This is the most masculine thing I think you could read in the scripture right here, besides Acts chapter 2. This is the stone. He said, before you hold, verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. You know, you can address a situation with authority. That doesn't mean you're being arrogant. That doesn't mean you're being disobedient. That means, no, you're fulfilling your call when you act, when you authoritatively speak the word of God. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Man, that's the capstone in this whole thing. If nothing else put them in their place, that did. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other under heaven, name under heaven, given among men by whereby we must be saved. This is a tongue twister in the Old English. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When people see you, who do they identify you with? This is a sobering question. They say, that is a Jesus person. That is a God person. Or do they look at you and say that you're a religious person? I hope they never say that about me. I hate religion more than I hate religion is a dead, long-whiskered, gray-haired, old, crusty old dead bird. Amen. I mean no disrespect by that, because these people don't know. They don't know, but they find it. Paul said to Timothy, they have a form of religion, but it's powerless. It's powerless. And it's powerless to save them, too. You know, hell is filled with a lot of religious people who believed in God, and they knew Jesus was the Son of God, but they never received Him. They never took Him as their Savior. That's faith. You got to have faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they said, these guys are ignorant, man. These are unlearned men. And they marveled. That means they were amazed. They were astounded at this. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That speaks volumes. Verse 14 says, and beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could not say nothing against it. Here's the lame man, never walked in his life. He says, I don't have silver and gold, but what I have, I give to you. What I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they grabbed him by the hand, and he went walking, leaping, and praising God. Went into the temple. All the stuff started. The shouting started. Everything started. It attracted the guards and the Pharisees and everything. He said, you can't do this. And they locked him up. And they called him out the next morning and said, hey, explain yourself. All right, if we be questioned this day of the good deed done to the impotent man, be it known unto you and to all of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man stands before you whole and healed. Verse 15, and when they had commanded them to go outside, counsel they conferred among themselves, saying, what are we going to do to these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done by them, is manifest to all of them, and we cannot deny it. Why would you want to? How deceived can you get and still breathe? But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they may speak henceforth no more in this name. And they called them and commanded them, do not speak at all, or teach in the name of Jesus. That's the gag order. Trump said, I'm going to do it anyways. What did Peter and John say? This is a good example. I'm following their example. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and that we have heard. So when they had further threatened them, they'd let them go, finding nothing. Now listen, here's the thing. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle was of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported to all what the chief priests and elders had said to them. They were walking in tall cotton. They were filled with joy. They said, look what's happening. You know, they couldn't do anything to us. They couldn't do anything to Jesus. We silenced them just like Jesus silenced them. We did, and they started seeing the similarities. And they're in this house, and all of a sudden, it became a holy moment of consecration. This is not a time for pride. It's a time for pride to get out of the house. And they humbled and they prayed, and they prayed a monumental prayer. And God shook the whole house. They said, stretch forth your hand now, Lord, to do many miracles. And he did. And they went out, and miracles started happening. More guys jump in the boat, get saved. And we, oh, praise God. And the Sanhedrin is losing their grip on Jerusalem, losing their stranglehold. Do you know that this Sanhedrin was among the most corrupt government? You know, the high priest every year was usually a Sadducee. Did you know that? Historical writings and the rabbis and points this out. That, you know who the Sadducees were? They didn't believe in anything spiritual. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They didn't believe that man was a spirit. They didn't believe any of that. That's why they were sad, you see? You know, they're like the modern-day Jehovah's Witnesses. Hell is the grave, you know? But that's the Sadducee. And he's usually a Sadducee. This was a political thing. And listen to this. Here. Where's this verse? Verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of who? That's all they cared about, their political position. That's all the left cares about in our country. These are renegades in other countries too. But it's happening worse here than anywhere else in the world right now. The kids are, your kids, are being attacked more than any other kids in the entire world right now. Why? The devil is trying to flip this country from a free market, free system where the people have the power instead of the government. The devil can't stand that. Right. He can't stand watching 5,000 people get saved. Hearing about miracles. He can't stand the name of Jesus. He can't stand to hear that. He wants to cripple the church. He wants to close us down and shut us down. He almost did it in 2020. You're non-essential. But the bars and the strip clubs and the drug stores, not those, but the marijuana stores, they're essential. Are you kidding me? The body of Christ is the most powerful thing in the world. And how, you know, everybody will be, governments will be lined up in the day of judgment, and they will be judged on how they treated Israel. Can you imagine what's going on today? Can you imagine the two Supreme Court people that threw Roe versus Wade over it back in 73 or something? The judgment? 80 million babies? And you know what? You're no better than them. Sin is sin, folks. It just is. God hates all of it. Now, there are different degrees of sin. That's true. And when Jesus died, he went to hell. But he went to the deepest parts of hell. He went to the places to pay for your sin and the worst possible sins in the world. See, there's the book of the Lamb, and then there's the book of deeds. Why are the deeds in there? Well, because you're going to be judged according to your deeds if you die without Jesus. And, you know, I mean, you've got the Hitlers and the Saddam Husseins and Stalins and everything who mass murdered people. And judgment is reserved for them. But even the lesser sins will send you to hell. It's not the sin itself it's not being born again. That's the crime of rejecting Jesus. That's the only thing that's keeping people out of heaven. So we've got to get this thing right. Get our priorities right. Get to church. Mom, you love your kids, but if they're not in church because of soccer or sports or whatever, you need to make some. You need to prioritize things and get them right, because you're setting an example for their future. Then when they're 30 years old and they're not going to church and you wonder why, you taught them that. You taught them that that stuff is far more important. You know, if you stand your ground, it's amazing how God will jump in your court and start hitting the ball for you. He'll start organizing things on your behalf. But you stand your ground. Moms, you're stronger than you think. There are a lot of things you got going for you that you have no idea about. You got more for you than are against you. Look at Mary. Sacrificed her entire future. When you get to heaven, you're going to see her. You're going to see her palace. She's doing great now, by the way. So is Joseph. Interesting note about Joseph. You know, they call him a carpenter. He worked with wood and stuff. That's not true. The Greek word is tekton. Rick Renner goes into this in that in his book, Christmas, The Real Story and What You Didn't. A tekton was somebody who was skilled in all kinds of things. Woodwork, yes, but even the jewels that were embedded into cement and things like that, stonework and everything. He did all of it. He was a master. He was a construction. He was like a, what do they call those? A contract, general contractor. That's what a tekton was. He did a lot more. He wasn't poor little Joseph. No, he was a master of industry. And he was a powerful man. And that fortune that they dumped on, that fortune that the Magi brought to him was amazing. It was stunning. And Joseph of Arimathea, this is what history points out, Rick Renner points out, that he's 99% sure that Joseph of Arimathea was Mary's uncle, a rich man. So, anyhow, Mama Bears, we're with you. We're praying for you. We love you. You have examples in the Scripture. Meditate on those. If you feel weak, you know, if you feel like you don't have it all going for you like some other people, I'm going to tell you that's a mirage, because none of us got it all together. You may look up to this one and say, oh, you know, they just have it all together and I don't. And if you feel that way, put that thought aside. That's discouragement. That's like feeling like you're not part of the covenants of God. You're an alien to this. No. You are just as much in this as they are. So don't look at the outside. You'll know them by their fruit. Amen. Okay. Thanks for spending a few extra minutes here. If I offended anybody, if I stepped on your toes, just leave them out there. God will heal them. And you got to laugh, because look, change is good. Change is good. You know, work is good. We were made for work. It's a good thing. God bless you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return void, but it will accomplish that which you send it to do. It works in us. It works in us mightily. And in the name of Jesus, we are doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And we thank you, Father, for the opportunity that we get to do your word, and we get to see you show up, and we get to be faithful in your word, and we get to see your faithfulness, and we get to sow and to reap into the kingdom of heaven and enjoy the royal benefits of a life that was given so that we could be everything that you created us to be. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.